Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, March 23rd, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 26, the second paragraph that starts, "So he returned to this doctor," through one paragraph ending, "Yet he had no control whatever over alcohol." Was this commenting on that one paragraph? Today's readers are 12 Steps, Charlene G, 12 Traditions, Jane S, readers of the text, Jessica C, and Judy N. Newcomer greeter, Kathy M, and our second hour host is Tony B. The reference numbers for Sunday, March 22nd, 2026 meeting is 23304. That's 23,304. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Charlene G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Charlene.
Hi, good morning. Charlene G. from Utah. Here are the 12 steps. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks.
Thanks, Charlene. I will now ask Jane S. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Janet. My name is Jane S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Here are our traditions of OA. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thanks, Jane. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 26, the second paragraph that starts, "So he returned to this doctor," through one paragraph ending, "Yet he had no control whatever over alcohol." What's this? And we will be commenting on that one paragraph. And I will now ask Jessica C. to begin reading. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. Okay. So he returned to this doctor whom he admired and asked him point blank why he could not recover. He wished above all things to regain self-control. He seemed quite rational and well-balanced with respect to other problems, yet he had no control whatever over alcohol. Why was this? So for me, this reminds me of being in OA in an earlier phase of my recovery, when I was not really working a strong spiritual program. And perhaps I had been using OA to achieve greater self-control. This self-control looked different than earlier versions of self-control with food. You know, I wasn't, dieting with a pay and weigh. I had given up some of my most serious binge foods. I was spending a lot of time at OA meetings and talking to fellows and talking about God and spirituality, but not really applying spirituality in a meaningful way, which I didn't realize that. But I see that now in retrospect, that I wasn't surrendering deeply enough to have new power flow in. So I continued to compulsively overeat, and I would go to my sponsor and fellows and say, why is this? You know, why isn't this level of effort that I'm making working when it seems to be working for others in this program? And I still remember that demoralization of how that felt and those conversations and feeling like the problem was that I wasn't working hard enough. It was suggested to me to come to this meeting, and I was told that this meeting offered hope for the really hard cases, that this was a place for people like me, the really hard cases where we got better. So that's what I did. And it was still a few more years after coming to this meeting before I, truly did pick up the spiritual toolkit in a meaningful way. But I'm grateful that I now have, over 5 years of continuous recovery. And I guess another thing about this paragraph is that it reminds me that that place of demoralization, of feeling like I'm out of options, that I've tried the very best options that I was aware of and they still didn't work, and how hopeless that can feel. But it can actually be a really hopeful opportunity to truly surrender to the level that's required to really recover from compulsive eating. So yeah, I think with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Jessica. And I'll take a list of names too who want to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any of the vision meetings, please hold back and let your friends share. So who would like to share? Nick? We're going to have
Harlan
a real quiet
G.
meeting, y'all, unless we get
Harlan
some names.
G.
Thanks, Harlan. I got you, Harlan. We got Nick. We got Harlan. Who else would like to share?
Peggy W. from Wisconsin.
Peggy W. Who else?
Kim A.
Kim?
Can you repeat the page, please?
I certainly can. We are on page 26, the second paragraph that starts, "So he returned to this doctor," through one paragraph ending, "Yet he had no control whatever over alcohol." Was this?
Thanks.
Got four Thanks. Names. I would like at least four more, please.
Vasa O.
Vasa.
Bonnie B.
Well, Bonnie. Let's get two more here. For you people who are a little shy to share, today is a perfect day. Star one and just give me your name. We are happy
Mary
to hear
a.
from you.
Mary A.
Mary A. Okay, wait. After
Ilana
Mary,
C.
there was someone else. Ilana C.
Ilana P.
Ilana P. And then... who was the person after Alana, please?
DL from Indiana.
DL? Okay. Anybody else want to get into this lineup? Okay, we will go with this. I've got Nick F, Helen G, Peggy W, Kim A, Vasa O, Bonnie B, Mary A, Ilana P, and DL. Nick, you are up. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, family. This is Nick F. in Tennessee. Thank you, Jessica, for taking the lead. They said, yeah, he had no control, whatever, over alcohol. Why was this? You know, without my high power, I had no control over my life. I woke up this morning, and, you know, my one son was gone to the Marines and left his dog. And this morning, you know, I said, I'm talking about first thing I woke up this morning, I said, I'm taking this dog to the shelter. I had to pick my son up from jail, my 14-year-old son from jail last week. I woke up this morning and I said, you know, I'm going to just sign over my rights. I'm going to sign over my parental rights. I'm tired. But I woke up at 4:30 and I'm telling these thoughts to God. I got a pencil. I wanted my pink sparkly pen, but I couldn't go get it. And I just had a pencil and I just started writing to God. And God told me, Nick, what if I could give you power to do all these things? Not just control over the food, but over your life. Power to live a life worth living. And God said, so you're not going to take the dog, and you're not going to sign over your parental rights. See, I knew I had an appointment this morning at 6 o'clock to be somewhere. And on December the 27th, I got on my knees. You know, my weight had got back to 315, and it was increasing. And I got back down on my knees full of pain, and I said, God, I'll come to vision every morning if you'll just help me. And I'll turn my food over every day if you'll just help me stop killing myself. And I'm going to just be honest with you. You know, my food is so clean right now. Now the nicotine is letting me know, you know, that I'm not as close to God as I want to be because I'm still reaching for something outside of myself. Yeah. I want to ask all the whys, but with God, I get to ask how. Because if I know if God can keep me from drinking and drugging and keep me from killing myself with food, he can help me to put down the nicotine. He can help me be a mother. He can help me even be a, what is it, a grandmother dog or whatever I am to this dog. But, you know, I get on the line and I hear the different people say their names and Katie asking, are we ready to go? And everything just changes. So, you know, I don't know all the way. I'm only 58 days abstinent. I don't know all the way how to live my life today, but I know today I won't kill myself with food. And it's only by the power and the grace of God. And today I'm going to drop my son off at school. I'm not going to a courthouse to turn over no rights, you know, just plain insanity. So I know I need to really keep coming back, and I need to hear the power, the voices, and the love on this line. And so I thank God today, and I thank all y'all for my for your service, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Nick. Beautiful. Harlan G., you are up by Peggy W. Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. Thanks for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Roland Hazard is who we're talking about here, and he tried to get to Dr. Freud, and Dr. Freud wasn't taking on any new patients, let alone alcoholic ones. He tried to get to Alfred Adler, and Adler wouldn't take him. And he finally got to Dr. Jung over in Geneva, Switzerland. And he returned to the doctor because he went to Paris to go home to America, and he got drunk there, and he returned to the doctor. And let's just take, let's just put a pin in the conversation between Jung and Roland for just a second and go to page 7 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it says, best of all, I met a kind doctor. He's talking about Silkworth. This is Bill Wilson, who explained that though certainly selfish and foolish, I had been seriously ill bodily and mentally. It relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it often remains strong in other respects. Well, I could go on, but there are people on this line right now who are amazingly accomplished, teachers, doctors, lawyers, psychologists, therapists, research people, office workers, moms, stay-home moms who've raised families. There are people on this line right now that have done things that would marvel most of us. But there's one thing we can't do, or we probably wouldn't be here. We cannot control the amount we eat once we start, and we cannot keep from eating certain foods now that we want to. Why is that? Because the mind is looking for an effect. What is the effect? The effect is that sense of ease and comfort that comes instantly by eating certain foods. And the body will not tolerate it. The mind says, I must have it. I must have it. And the body says, if you have it, I am going to make your life a living hell. And we are powerless over food. This is step one material. Tomorrow, I'm going to color a little outside the lines here, Dr. Jung is going to tell Roland that he is absolutely hopeless, but we're going to find out that Jung broke rank with Freud and Adler in one respect. Freud and Adler believe that all solution lie within the cerebral, within the mind. Jung broke rank with them and believed that here and there, there were people that could have vital spiritual experiences, vital spiritual awakenings that would allow them to live free like other men.
That's
and not
time.
Abuse alcohol. Okay, okay. Thanks for your service, Janet. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Harlan. And now we've got Peggy W. followed by Kim A. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. Yeah, this is a great read. I'm actually on this chapter right now with my sponsor. And, you know, it's just, I've been here only a couple of weeks now, and it's going really well, working these steps. I definitely am making a better connection with my higher power, which is weird because I'm not a believer, and there is definitely something to this. I'm today thinking the only way I'm going to get abstinent and stay abstinent one day at a time is to keep reaching out to this higher power, giving my will to him every single day and surrendering that I am definitely an overeater, that I am out of control, that I just, and that's hard to accept. And I know I'm not the only one. I mean, sometimes I wish I was, you know, an alcoholic or a drug addict. Not that them things are any easier, but you'd have to go looking for that stuff. And here we have to have the food. We have to have it survive. I'm just really enjoying these morning meetings. I feel like this is my medicine. Getting on my knees is definitely the best way for me to start my day, and just talking to that higher power, just knowing that the spiritual part is going to save me. And with that, I will pass.
Thanks, Peggy. And now we've got Kim A, followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Kim.
Hi, this is Kim A from New York City. And what really strikes me about this paragraph is that sentence, he wished above all things to regain self-control. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions about 12-step programs is that we're going to learn how to get self-control over our substance. I know for almost 20 years, I didn't really understand my step one. And so even when I was working on step four or step seven, I didn't get that I wasn't here to regain self-control. And maybe I didn't think of it in those terms, but for me, by trying to follow a food plan, by trying to eliminate triggers, by constantly like weighing and measuring and changing up my food plan, that was part of the game for me. But I didn't really get that. So by doing that, I was trying to regain self-control. Many years later, it's been explained to me, you know, what a chronic compulsive eater is, and that I, as a chronic compulsive eater, I'm not able to manage or control my food in any way, because that's using human aid solutions to my problem. And my problem isn't food. My problem is lack of power, right? So for anybody who may be out of control or unable to put it down, it may not be, like, I thought I was a failure. I thought I was doing something wrong and that, you know, I wasn't eliminating the right foods or ingredients. I wasn't following the right food plan. I wasn't praying hard enough, whatever it was. Really, the magic came for me when I was taken through the steps quickly, as they are written in the big book, somebody to interpret this for me. And no matter what I do, if I'm a chronic compulsive eater, I'm not going to be able to regain self-control. I'm here to give my control away. I'm here to understand that once I take that first compulsive bite, I'm powerless. And I have a mind that's always going to force me to take that first compulsive bite to seek comfort. Not consciously, but no matter what that food is, it didn't have to be sugar. It could have been anything. I binged on really stupid things because it was about that physical reaction, not to an ingredient, but to shoving food down my throat, that like, ah. And the steps helped me get to what was underneath all that, right? The causes and conditions, the reasons that I needed all that comfort from life. It was because of what was going on in my head. So when the steps work, help me work through what's going on in my head and learn how to give that to a higher power, I don't have that need to regain control because I don't need to do anything about my food. I don't need to get easy comfort from food anymore. And I'll pass. Kim A. from New York City. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. And now we've got Vasa O, followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning. I believe it's Janet. Thank you for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And I love this paragraph. And this is where I was when I came to Overeaters Anonymous. I had no more control left. I just gave into the food addiction because there was nothing more left for me to try out there. And yeah, believe me, it's not like I didn't try. I tried this, and nothing worked. I always went back into the food. And okay. So what I found out, it was a miracle. That was a name that I didn't know before. It was a disease of the mind and the obsession of the body with the food, the sugars, and that was I didn't have the power. And I had the power in many other areas of my life. You know, I was married. I had a husband. I had the house. I had the children one by one. I had everything, but I could not put the food down. And my dilemma was I was powerless. I couldn't do it. I needed to find a power greater than myself. And at that time, I said, I will do whatever you tell me to do. I just do not want to die. And I'm grateful I was given the big book and I was introduced, you know, with the first edition, how the 100 men and women recovered. And I read the book from the beginning to the end, and I was ready and willing to surrender to the program and to a power greater than myself. And that's what has worked all these years. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be here with you and to share my experience, strength, and hope. And my life has been so much better by working the steps, one step at a time. And when I'm done with the steps, I go back again, step one again, because I don't want to forget where I came from. So it works if we work it, and I was ready and willing to do it. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. And now we've got Bonnie B, followed by Mary A. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for all the shares. They've been beautiful. Bonnie B, living recovered by the grace of God in the state of Florida. He returned to the doctor. How many people did I return to? How many voices did I seek out prior to coming into this program? Oh, my word, the list was just huge, and money that I put on the table, because I had tried something. I had tried many somethings, and all of them appeared to work until they didn't. And it brought me back to the beginning again, seeking out yet another voice. And they were usually people that I admired, because usually most of them didn't have my DNA, and what they had done appeared to work for them. And so I was certain it would work for me. When I came into this program and I had someone with great love lean in and say, yeah, I get it, not a problem, take my hand, let me show you exactly how you can touch base with the only one that can do it for you, that's where I got recovered. That's where I found recovery. It's the only gift that I've been given in this program. I am grateful for the steps. I'm grateful for this beautiful book. But if I hadn't had someone, and I've had many someones, I've had many sponsors in this program, each of them did the same thing. They took my hand. They said, okay, you know what? You're separated. You're separated from God. Because as someone said a little bit ago, why do I turn to food? Why did I do what I did? It was because I wasn't living in a state of emotional sobriety. I had a thinking issue when I couldn't fix, manage, control anything around me, and there was lots of stuff around me. My drug of no choice truly was food, and then to restrict, and then to exercise, and start it all over again. But this program allows me to stay connected to God, which keeps me in that same place in my head. When I stay in that same place in my head, there is no need to neutralize with food. But if I go to any source other than God, it's not going to work, because what they're going to offer me isn't going to be what I need. I don't need another diet. I don't have a food issue. I have emotional sobriety issue. I need to stay connected to my Creator at all costs. And if I don't, I will be running back to yet another source. And that doesn't work for me. So I'm grateful for each and every person in this program. So many of you have played a part in my recovery, and I am I'm eternally grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Bonnie. Next, we've got Mary A., followed by Ilana P. Mary A., star one, good morning.
Good morning, Janice. Thank you for your service, and thank
First
you to
off, everybody. I think, just a second, there's someone who's unmuted. We're getting an echo, so if you are not Mary A., please star one and mute your phone if you're unmuted.
Try that again.
Mary, go right ahead.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name's Mary A. I'm calling in from Portland, Maine, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you to everyone for your service. Yes, I wish above all things to regain self-control. And what a false idea that is, you know, self-control. When it comes to compulsive overeating, I have no self-control. And the funny thing about this brain is that I do have self-control in other ways. I have self-control in, you know, paying my taxes on time. I have self-control in the way I conduct myself at work. I have self-control in the way that I conduct relationships. And I don't have self-control when it comes to the way that this alcoholic brain manifests compulsive overeating. And I do wish above all things, well, no, I should say in the past, I wished above all things to regain self-control. Now I wish above all things to abandon the thought that I might be able to regain self-control and instead wholly, fully, completely turn myself over to my higher power, knowing that my higher power actually loves me more than I love myself. Loves me more than my alcoholic brain is capable of loving me. And that when I turn to God for God's direction and God's guidance about how to conduct my life, I don't, as we heard in an earlier share, I don't need to turn to other substances or behaviors, especially not food. And I had a break in my abstinence 2 weeks ago today. And what I realize as I look back at what was going on, I was carrying around a fear and a resentment that I like was digging my heels in and did not want to let go of. There's something about living in the problem that feels so powerful, right? That self-righteous anger, that indignation. And I hope that you all will laugh along with me, but I was house sitting and had all my abstinent food, but didn't have a fruit. And I'm looking around for a fruit. And I saw one of my allergic foods, which is not fruit, and was like, oh, well, that will do. And if I have just a little, that will do. And then, of course, a little led to more. Now, thank God it only lasted a day. And the next day I was back to God. But, you know, this program and these tools show me the way. The way is not self-control. The way is God-reliance. And when I'm clogged with resentments and fear, then I can't get to that precious power that can protect me from those insane thoughts. And so, you know, today I turn my whole will and my whole life over to God's loving care. And today I'm willing to pick up the kit of spiritual tools and do what needs to be done. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary. And now we've got Alana P., followed by DL, and then we will take some more names. Good morning, Alana. Got Alana or Elena P.? One, please.
Yes. Good morning. Excuse me.
Good morning.
This is Elana P. Hi. This is Ilana P. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pittsburgh. And yeah, this paragraph struck me this morning as people have shared that, you know, I wanted many times, almost all the time, to regain self-control. And, you know, I might for a little bit of time, maybe an hour, maybe a day, maybe a week, and then I was back in the disease. And I needed to have a power that I could trust, that I could believe in, and that I could surrender to, where it says, no control whatever over alcohol. Well, I sometimes feel like, since I'm also a restrictor, that I, at least I exert too much control, right? That's the restricting. It's like I want to control anything about my food, anything about my weight. And it's like there's no surrender there. There's no peace. There's no recovery. There's nothing unless I'm able to surrender fully to my higher power, which I do and work on every day. I have to do it over and over and over. And I'm so grateful for this meeting. I love to be on here every morning. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we've got DL, and then we will take some more names. Good morning, D.
Good morning, everyone. This is DL. And I feel I have to show up and do and share if I'm going to stay recovered. You know, he wished all things to regain self-control. You know, when I would be in and out of the food, people would say, well, why did you let yourself go? And I think, oh, my God, if they only knew how hard I tried. You know, program has really taught me that twist of the mind. And, I can't have the control. I have to surrender to a higher power. You know, and I think that that's really my basis. Sometimes I keep forgetting because I have to align my will with God's will. And sometimes that's difficult. So I really got to, you know, work all 12 steps and live in 10, 11, and 12. Because I, by myself, really have no control over the food. I am a compulsive overeater. And, you know, I know that that emotional buildup will take me right back there where I don't want to go. And I have a built-in forgetter. So thank you, everyone, for letting me share and to remember that I am a compulsive overeater. Have a beautiful day. DL.
Thanks, Dee. And we will now take some more names. Let me tell you all where we are. We are on page 26, the second paragraph that starts, so he returned to this doctor, through one paragraph ending, yet he had no control whatever over alcohol. Why was this? We'll be commenting on that one paragraph, and I can take six names.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Devoted in New Jersey.
Linda S. in Sweden.
Hey. CK
okay.
in California.
Dr. Linda. To CK. There's someone
B.
from New Jersey. Someone
Devorah
from
B.
New,
in
Jersey
New Jersey
after Lisa. Gotcha, Devorah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Jamie
I can
R.
take two more names. Jamie
R. New York.
Are you
Sarah
Jamie?
G.
Who wants to I think we've got our lineup. So we've got Lisa B, Devorah B, Linda S, CK, Jamie R, and Sarah G. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Janet. My name is Lisa B, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. And this has been such a powerful share. Thank you for everyone's share. I had a hard time getting on the meeting, so I unfortunately missed the lead share, but thank you for telling us where we are in the big book. What jumps out for me in this paragraph is the confusion and the desperation. He wanted to recover. He wasn't in denial. He was intelligent, rational, successful in other areas, and yet when it came to this, you know, he had no control. And that's what I relate to. And what I see, what I know now is that the hopelessness is really an invitation. It's an invitation to an amazing way of life. But, you know, it just doesn't seem like that at the time. And, You know, it's my mind of wanting to fix it. It's an invitation to stop trying to fix myself through my thinking, you know, through my willpower, through hypervigilance, through constant figuring out a new diet, a new person to talk to, a new therapy, a new modality. And you know, it's amazing how many years I lost not being present in the moment because I was trying to figure this out. And how much this distracted me. And also, I love where it says, you know, he wished to regain self-control. The truth is, I wanted to be my own higher power. I wanted to be God and run the show. And, you know, it says he seemed quite rational and well-balanced. Well, I know for me, I was not well-balanced and rational. I thought maybe people weren't aware of this. They may not have known what the heck was going on. But they knew I was unpredictable and emotionally unstable. So today, with abstinence and a food plan and you know, the disciplines of our 12 steps, it's amazing how much freedom I have. It could seem like a very controlled way of living, but it all works. And it really is through surrendering at depth and placing myself in position as a result of going through these steps and receiving God's grace. So this is all an invitation to receive God's grace and an amazing way of life. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. And next, we've got Devorah B., followed by Linda S. Good morning, Devorah.
Good morning. It's Devorah B., compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you, everybody, for the beautiful shares that I'm hearing. I'm not going to be able to attend my in-person meeting this week, so I'm so happy to be here and hear everything. When I came into program and everyone was going around the table and saying I'm a compulsive overeater, I had a hard time saying it at first, but very quickly I really learned to love that term because it took away my previous thoughts that I had no self-control and replaced it with, this is a disease that God gave me when I was a little girl, when I was a newborn. It's in my DNA. And it's not that I don't have self-control. Just like it says here, he seemed quite rational and well-balanced with respect to other problems. So, you know, on the outside, I looked like I had, you know, a good marriage and I had children and I was always calm when they threw tantrums. Like, I didn't lose it. I had self-control. I can hold down jobs and do a really good job. So it was so confusing to me. You know, like it says here, why was this? Why couldn't I have control over food? And that wasn't obvious to anyone either because I gained weight very, very slowly, and it wasn't even so much weight. I had to lose only 50 pounds. But it was that same disease. So for me, saying, you know, I am Devorah, a compulsive overeater, was a big relief. And for me, it's a matter of surrendering, like I keep hearing on all the shares. But since my life has this illusion that I'm doing all this stuff, you know. Soon I'm going to go out, wake up all my kids, get them all out to school, and then I have a job, I'm self-employed. And, you know, there's so much going on. We're planning a wedding. And it seems like I'm making all these phone calls, doing all this stuff. And so the only way for me to really let go and realize that it's all God and give it over to God is to pause multiple times throughout the day. Otherwise, it will just be self-will because it looks like I'm doing all this stuff. To pause and close my eyes and breathe and feel God's love, connect to him, surrender, consciously surrender everything that's going on into his power. And for me, that's, you know, giving up any control I think I have and giving it over to him, and that's how I can stay recovered one day at a time. Thank you so much again for this beautiful meeting. I pass.
Thanks, Devorah. Now we've got Linda F., followed by CK. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, Janet. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone being here today.
I'm Linda S., recovered in Sweden, so grateful. And I'm reminded that left to my own device, I'm really hopeless. And my default is fear and trying to control and manage everything in my life. And I can't do that, but I've tried so much all through my life. And living from a place of being a victim and this cunning, baffling, and powerful spiritual malady is really like it has. Yeah, I believe the lies that I have control, like I can manage it this time, or I can in some way, you know, handle the food.
The most difficult thing I would say is that sometimes it can appear like I do have control. And made it so hard for me to see that I can't, because in periods of time all through my life, it has appeared like this time I can do it, you know, and this time it won't go as bad. And just having these intervals in between compulsive eating or trying to recover from compulsive eating. And I find that it's been so hard to just, you know, see the truth in regards to this. And it didn't matter that I was like losing everything in my life, like the consequences of being in the food, losing my dreams, not getting married, like not being able to take care of myself or my home, or, you know, not taking care of friendships, and just like regressing in life in so many ways. It didn't matter. Like I could see the consequences clearly there in regards to me being in the food, because that's the one thing I never really let go of. And humility, I see like the opposite of this is humility, because I wanted so badly to try and fix myself and protect myself and meet my own needs. And it was just all about me. Like this self-centeredness just kept me in bondage to this sickness, really. And just coming to a place of, you know, humility, like I just can't do this, and taking like one right action in the right direction has like made such a huge difference. And I can see like in my inventories, it's like all about me wanting to be in control, because I'm usually afraid of things and I'm acting out of that place. And now I'm about to live my way. Like I'm meant to live in the opposite way. Like I'm meant to live in trust. And I believe the steps are to take me back to the place where I was meant to be from the beginning, in a relationship with a higher power, with my God, where I can be, you know, safe and protected, and I can be at peace. I don't need to live in this illness anymore, and I can be useful to others instead. And that requires trust. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Linda. Good to hear you. And now we've got CK followed by Jamie R. Good morning, CK.
Peace. Good morning, family. This is CK in California. Today I have 523 days, and I'm grateful. Okay, so it says seem rational, well-balanced with respect to other problems, yet no control over alcohol. You know, I always say I'm a real Bill because I think I'm just like Bill. You know, I'm an alcoholic just like Bill. But I'm an alcoholic who never had a problem with beverages containing alcohol. Bill drank oceans and oceans of alcohol. I ate mountains and mountains of food. You know, I'm an alcoholic when it comes to food. I'm an alcoholic when it comes to substances. I'm an alcoholic when it comes to women, love, romantic relationships. You know, the same insanity that hits the alcoholic when they have one drop happens to me when I take one bite, when I take one hit, when I make one phone call to get high off some woman who I have no business calling. You know, I look good as hell on paper. You pick up my resume, people pick up my resume, they're like, this you? I'm like, yeah, that's me. I did all that, you know? Me, I, self, that's my life without program. I think I have power without program. I think I have control without program. I think I got the solution without program. And my solution was always fixated on the external things, you know, people, places, things. So I was reaching for external things to fill the hole in my soul. But no matter what food I picked up, or what woman I, or what degree I picked up, or what job I picked up or what award I picked up. None of that ever mattered. Why? Because I could will so many things, like it says on page 45. I could will so many things with all my might, but the needed power was not there. You know, God don't care about none of this external shit. She wants me to pick up her in my time of need. She wants me to rely on her in my time of need. That is the solution. I need a power greater than any of the external shit. I need a power greater than myself. And that's the only solution. That is the solution to the hole, to fix the hole in my soul, is to pick up spiritual help. There's no easier, softer way. And I tried and tried and tried. And I'm dead set now on knowing and believing the truth. And the solution is working this program, working the steps, and doing this work every day. So thanks for letting me share, y'all. CK in California.
Thanks, CK. And we've got Jamie R. and Sarah G. And if you could each take 2 minutes, then we can get both of you in. So Jamie R., you are up for 2 minutes.
Thank you so much. This is Jamie R. in New York. Can I be heard okay?
You're perfect.
Thank you. Thanks for everybody's service and these beautiful shares today. I just, this paragraph strike, I wanted to share. It strikes me that the word why is in there twice. And poor Roland spent a whole year with that doctor and completely succumbed again. I relate to that in this. The figure it out is not my slogan, I guess, but what I have learned is that it's invisible to me that what happens when I do ignite the allergy, it can be one bite and it's invisible. It just happens. It's like a little match that starts a flame and it becomes an absolute bonfire. It's out of control. And so I just get that he wished, you know, I wished, because I was sick of the painful consequences of what happens with the one bite. I'm sick of it. And I do admire the doctors, but I'll tell you, I would love to be able to find a current, a psychologist or psychiatrist who has some sense of a spiritual side of things. Mostly they have like, oh, maybe behavior modification and just have a little or whatever. They don't, I don't know. I haven't found an addictionologist who gets us, but that's why I keep coming back here. Because there's really only one solution for me, and it's in this book. So I'm really grateful for all of you, and I'll keep listening and reaching out, and we'll do it together. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jamie. And Sarah G., you've got 2 minutes, and you'll close us out. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for everyone being here. I cannot do this program without you. The shares were absolutely beautiful. Thank you. And, you know, I need God in everything. You know, I don't relate with something in the paragraph that says, you know, that we were good at all kinds of things, but when it came to food, we were different. I don't find that I'm really good at anything, and I'm finding that, you know, things are coming up for me when I work the steps and live this spiritual life, then I get the guidance and I am able to do things. And yet at the same time, you know, I still have certain character defects, and even something happened yesterday, and I was interacting with one of my children, and a character defect came up, and I'm like, oh, boy, and how do I work through that? And I did a 10th step. I need to do another 10th step, and it's really humbling, and, you know, and I'm just really grateful for this program. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah, and thank you to everyone who read or shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, March 23rd, 2026, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23,305. That's 23305. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Judy Ann, can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.